And when you think about it, isn't that exactly the point? Parking, and driving, and shopping, and eating, and gaming. Somewhere, somehow, they're different now. None of them are the same. They all got chewed up and spit back out. And they don't taste like living anymore. Don't you see what it's like in this deranged, wearing blender of a book? Every page is an agonizing ordeal, like balancing a pot of scalding water on your head while people whip your legs and butt. You think I'm sick? Well, the only disease I've got is the Duckman RPG, a schnut-busting gauntlet of inefficiency and misery that's one long parade of letdowns, putdowns, trickle-downs, shutouts, freeze-outs, sellouts, numbnuts, nincompoops, and nimrods, all making every day as much fun as waxing a flaming Pontiac with your tongue, or even if you do luck into the possibility of some fleeting pleasure, like, say, if some nymphomaniac telephone operators with the muscle control of Romanian mat slappers agree to a little strip air hockey, it'll be over before it starts because some vowel-lacking, fatal-reeking cab jockey slams his checker up your hatchback, and the cab is owned by some pinata spanker from a Santeria cult in Wakulpa who starts shaking chicken bones at you and gives you a boil on your neck so big all it needs is Michael Jordan's autograph to make it complete. And even with all this, I still drag my sorry butt off the ceiling every morning and stick my face in the reading machine for one more day, knowing when it's time to flash the cosmic card key at those pearly gates, I won't be in the coffin anyway, because some underhanded undertaker sold my heart, pancreas, and other assorted good and plenty to that same Santeria cult. So does anybody really wonder why anybody is hanging on to sanity by the atoms of the tips of their fingernails while the Duckman RPG dirty dances on their digits? And is it really any wonder that I seem deranged?
Welcome to System Mastery. I'm Jeff, and my co-host John is here with me as always. How are you this week, John?
So good.
I'm glad to hear it. We have a real gem to deliver to the people this week.
I don't think I've been this excited about a dumb licensed property in a while.
I know. I was amazed. Now, this came to us from an anonymous donor. It was mailed in, so whoever you are, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my God. We wish we knew your name. What we have today is the Duckman RPG.
Now, for those who are unfamiliar with Duckman as a property, I'm sorry.
You missed out. You missed out on the American dream.
Duckman was a 90s cartoon.
It's by the production company Klasky Supo, which you'd know right off the top, like immediately if you were looking at it. Like maybe you don't remember that name, but let me just rattle off a list for you real quick here, if I may.
And you may.
Rugrats. Rugrats All Growed Up. As Told by Ginger. The Wild Thornberries. Rocket Power. Ah! Real Monsters. And of course, Duckman. Now, Duckman's the only one that wasn't on Nickelodeon for kids. And that's not even true. They had this weird one-season spin-off piece of crap show called, like, Spanish Fly. That was literally, like, a racist Spanish Fly.
Oh, yeah, no. I saw that. That was amazing. I got shown Spanish Fly in a Spanish class in order to learn Spanish.
Oh, man.
That is some real good teaching I got there.
So, all Klasky Supo animation is more or less characterized by being very stylized, very kind of wriggly.
Yeah, it's got that Dr. Katz type feel to it.
Not quite
less wriggly.
Yeah, not as computer looking, but just very, everyone's always off model. Everyone's always kind of morphing around a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Duckman is a show that was supposed to be like a competitor to The Simpsons.
So it's Jason Alexander is the main voice of Duckman in the show. And it's sort of a, like, holding up a mirror to our American life with comedy and vulgarity.
And it's vaguely like a Married with Children sort of premise. Like, you've got the main character is like the king of his castle, man who lives at home, but then he's just being constantly emasculated by the family.
Yeah, it's a weird premise for a show because nobody on the show tends to be really likable. You've got a few characters that have some redeeming qualities, but for the most part,
they're competent or smart, and that's all you ever get out of them.
Oh yeah, even the best character, he'll still have a lot of weird traits to him.
I think we're probably talking about Cornfed right
now. Yeah, Cornfed is Duckman's partner.
They're because Duckman himself is a detective.
Yeah, the premise is that Duckman is a private eye, Except the fact that he is a private eye features in maybe one out of every 12 episodes.
It usually just sets up the premise. That's all it is. Like, he'll be in his office and someone will barge in and demand he do something. And that's about all you get out of Duckman's job. Now, Cornfed, well, Duckman is a naked duck. I think he has a tie.
Maybe? No.
I don't remember.
He's just walking around.
Naked, yeah. And he doesn't have eyeballs either. His glasses have pupils on them. That's the kind of art we're getting from this.
Yep.
And again, he's voiced by Jason Alexander. He's the only voice in the show that matters, except for occasional guest appearances by Lord, Sir, Knighted, probably, should be, Tim Curry.
Tim Curry playing the main villain of the show, which is King Chicken.
Yes, he plays King Chicken, famous for his catchphrase, which I will now allow John to do, because literally you can see it stuck in his throat.
It's so good. So, doesn't even really have a catchphrase as much as every time he stops Duckman or does anything awesome, he goes, yes, buck, buck, buck.
Which is the greatest thing you could expect Tim Curry to do.
Yeah, the fact that they got Tim Curry to show up in studio and they're like, look, we want you to make some bucking noise at the microphone, if you would please.
Could you give us a delivery of the line, bok, 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 as if Dr. Frank was saying it? It's amazing. So, Duckman's a private eye. He lives at home with his sister-in-law, Bernice.
Yeah, because his wife and the mother of his children are dead?
She's either dead or she left him. I think it's in one of the episodes, but frankly, yeah, we don't research.
No.
So, yeah, so the mother of his children is gone, but he has some children, and they are Ajax.
Ajax is
like a stir. He's got kind of a Keanu Reeves.
He is very much just Keanu Reeves circa Bill and Ted.
Yeah, so he's just kind of a dumb character who loves his dad.
He just walks around and he's like, hi, Dad. Yeah, I need to do things for school.
Yeah, and doesn't ever say the D at the end of dad. Yeah, and then his other sons, who the show practically ignores, they're like the Maggie of the show, which is a two-headed guy, or a couple of guys named Ajax and, Charles and Mambo.
Charles and Mambo are the super smart ones, so I know they split it between the two heads as far as what they're super good at, so I think it's like, Charles is really awesome at, like, poetry and writing, and he's all into that, and then Mambo is super into science. Yeah.
He's into science.
I mean, he is a duck, so you'd assume so.
Well, yeah, okay. All right. And then Bernice, the sister-in-law, who is the deeply emasculating, doesn't approve of anything Duckman does.
She is the very man-hating, feminist, horrible stereotype that you got from that age where it was like, she just works out and hates men and whatever.
Yeah, she's always in a unitard. That's like all she wears is like a bathing suit with some leggings, and she hates Duckman.
And then we have Grandmama.
Oh, right, Grandmama. Grandmama is an old lady who also lives in the house, and all she does is fart.
She cannot communicate with words, but she will occasionally punchline something with a fart.
Yeah, she's there to punch up boring stretches of the show by farting.
Yeah, so it'll be like, hey, Grandmama, what do you think?
Yeah, so she's basically like the Chris Farley of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. Anyway, that's enough setup about the show. Let's get into this game. Oh, my God.
Okay, so it starts out with sort of introducing you to what is a Duckman RPG.
Yeah, is this your first time ever playing an RPG?
Well, let me tell you, it's got that very Duckman show feel to the writing, so it's like, well, let me tell you exactly what you're getting into there, sugar, and you're like, okay, great, I understand.
Yeah, I get it. This is just like when I was reading the Buffy RPG. It's just got a slightly different voice.
Yeah. So the writing is in that crazy voice, and it gives you the, like, okay, is this the first time you've played an RPG? Do you know what the fuck Duckman is?
You're gonna need some dice. The exact same number of dice you'd need to play craps.
Because, lo and behold, you are basically playing craps, although kind of weirdly not. It's weird.
It's an interesting concept. We'll give it that. Okay, so this game, so after it goes through the rigmarole of telling you what an RPG is and what you're going to need, and what you're going to need is three friends you don't like. And
And mostly also three friends that don't like you.
Yeah, that's not coming from me. That's not a judgment on the book. I'm saying that's what the book says.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're going to need three friends you don't like. An assorted variety of brown liquors. The margins of porno in which to scribble notes.
Yeah, this goes whole hog on its theme. It's super awesome.
Yeah. Okay, and then it starts breaking down into how you build a Duckman World character and why you would want to.
Yeah. So you've got your sort of generic races and classes and all that sort of thing.
Okay, now there are...
It is an early 90s, or not early, a late 90s kind of RPG, so you've got a lot of the trappings that you had in RPGs of those times.
Yes. So, for example, there are some races, which is weird, because Duckman the Races, It never mattered for anything. It's one of those animal shows, you know, where people are just animals and they walk around, and very rarely do they reference the type of animal they are.
But it's not like sort of the DuckTales type thing where everyone is a duck except for, like, the Beagle Boys.
No. Okay, so there are four or five races you can play in the game. Oh, sorry. Four or five races you can play in the game. There are, of course, ducks. And the way that they do this is they give out bonuses to stats, and they use an almost kind of late 3rd or 4th edition D&D model of how the stats work, because you get plus 1 automatically to one stat, and then another plus 1 to your choice of one of two other stats. So, for example, a duck will get plus 1 to sleaze, because, yeah, the stats in this game are amazing.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You get plus 1 to sleaze, and then plus 1 to your choice of either apathy or greed.
Let's just go down the stats real quick, because this shit is amazing.
Okay, there's apathy, greed, sleaze, rage, and dexterity.
Yeah.
Because it's a game from the 90s.
It's so good. Everything about this is wonderful.
Yeah. Okay, so basically most of the stats are negative things about your character, and yeah. So a duck will get plus 1 to sleaze, and then plus 1 to either apathy or greed. A pig will receive plus 1 to dexterity, I guess, because Cornfed was relatively competent on the show.
I think Cornfed was the only one who could actually do anything. Like, he had ridiculous karate ability if he ever wanted to fight someone.
Yeah, or he was a really weird character. And then pigs also get plus 1 to either greed or sleaze. And the book mentions that while Cornfed is, you know, the pig that's in the show, he's not the only pig in the universe, and some of them are actually pigs. Like, they're literal...
Yeah, actual pigs.
Yeah, like, if you want to play a pig, you probably shouldn't play as a dapper, weird detective who's way into the occult, but rather you could actually play him as an asshole or something.
Yeah.
Then you've got little weird bear things.
Yeah, one of the helpers for Duckman and Cornfed on the show were Fluffy and Uranus.
Fluffy and Uranus, which are two little weird bear teddy bear kind of things.
And they are always saccharinely sweet.
Yeah.
And they are always trying to help Mr. Duckman!
Yeah, and they put up with his horrible misanthropy with, you know, oh, sorry, Mr. Duckman, I'll try harder. Oh, no, we should help you out! Yeah, that's two of those characters. Those are, like, his secretaries. And little weird bear things get plus 1 to greed, because in the show they're shown to, like, live in houses that are completely full of kitschy crap.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then they get a choice of plus 1 to either dexterity or rage. With the idea, I think, being that eventually they snap...
Yeah, I think the idea behind that was eventually you push the little weird bear thing too far and it just freaks out on you.
Yeah. And then humans, and the book, this is one of my favorite parts, the book makes fun of you for choosing to play as a human.
Oh yeah, you're playing the Duckman RPG and you decided to play as a human, which the show had humans, which was really weird.
Generally,
whatever.
There's only two reasons to see a human on the show. They were either sleazy salesmen, or they were hot babes, because Duckman was primarily attracted to actual human women.
Except you had hot babe ducks as well. Like, you'd have, like, a duck chick with a huge rack, and that would be a thing.
He was really just mostly attracted to tits. He didn't care if they were feathered or not.
No.
No, he's down with the swirl, is what I'm saying here. He doesn't care.
The swirly dick that he has because he's a duck?
Yes, he has a swirly duck dick. Which you can't... He's naked. You know,
yeah.
He's just hanging in front of him the whole way through the show. No, so he's mostly just into big veiny racks. That's his deal.
Yes.
Creamy like a Stilton cheese with a nipple on it.
Yeah. So you can be a human.
If you want, and if you're a human, you get plus 1 to a stat of your choice. And that's it.
Yeah, congratulations. Good job.
I don't know why you chose that. And then finally, chickens. Now, there's only one chicken on the show, which is King Chicken, but I suppose if you really wanted to play a chicken... Then you could. Chickens get plus 1 to rage, because they're the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then plus 1 to either sleaze or apathy.
Yeah. Well, you know, they take the sleaze or apathy because King Chicken's only weakness was Bernice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was, I don't know why, but super pervy for her. And then apathetic because he hated everything else that wasn't Duckman. He didn't care.
Now, let's explain what all these plus 1s mean, because it's really interesting. The way that the plus 1s work, your stats are all just zeros.
Oh, yeah.
You just have zero and everything. And if you get a plus 1, you're like, oh, my gosh, my sleaze is 1. I'm amazing. So here's what that gives you. All the mechanic resolutions in this game are done by rolling 2d6 and trying to hit craps numbers. So if you roll a 7 or an 11, you succeed on your roll. If you roll a 2, 3, or 12, you fail on your roll spectacularly.
Oh yeah.
It's a critical failure, something horrible happens to you. On any number that isn't those, so like, for example, a 4 or a 5, you fail, but not that bad.
No. I mean, because everyone fails all the time.
Yeah.
So they're like, we assume that anything you try to do, you're not going to do very well.
That's
right. And it does sort of say you might accomplish something even with a failure, but you're not going to accomplish what you wanted.
Yeah, something else will happen, basically. So when you get a plus one to your sleaze, if you're making a sleaze-based check, that means you can move the die up by, or the result on the numbers of the dice up by one.
So that makes it so that a 6 or 7 or a 10 or 11
no,
will get
you. No, it's only up by
oh,
one.
Oh, that's right. It's only
yeah.
up.
Which means that, because there's a whole different set of things that can let things move down on the dice. So when you have a plus one to your stat, if you roll a 6 or a 10, you can get yourself a success. If you roll a 3, you can spend, you can put your plus one on it to move it out of a super critical failure into a regular boring failure of a 4. So that's how the stats work. It's really interesting that the dice are, all you're doing with all your stat modifications is trying to aim for 7s and 11s, or, and this is going to come up a lot a little later, move other people's dice results into 2s, 3s, and 12s.
Yeah. But the, so if you get the plus one, you do have a slightly better chance of not fucking up,
mm-hmm.
which is nice.
Yeah. I mean, you're probably going to be failing constantly anyway.
Oh, yeah.
But let's get into that. Now, so that's the basic mechanic of the game. You roll 2d6, and on a 7 or an 11, you succeed at whatever you're trying to accomplish. On a 2, 3, or 12, you fail horribly and are probably injured or something. And on any other number, you just fail and stall.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's get to the classes. There are 10.
Yeah. They decided to put everything based around your stats because that's the only way people knew how to make fucking RPGs back then, apparently.
Welcome to the 90s. So there are basically two classes per stat.
Yeah. So you've got your apathy classes, which are your stoner or your idiot.
Mm-hmm. You got your greed classes, which are gambler or huckster.
There's the sleaze classes of drunk or lecher.
Mm-hmm. Rage gives you either detective, because, you know, Duckman yeah. RPG, or jerk.
And then you've got dexterity for Amazon, which is prefaced by being, this is for girls only.
Yeah.
Or your jock.
So there you go. All right. So let's break down how the classes work, because they're actually all fairly similar. It's interesting. They give you... I think they call them the good, the bad, and the ugly, which is the three powers your character gets.
Yeah.
Again, this book is wall-to-wall just jokes.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, as much as we've looked at a couple other comedy RPGs before, this one is weird in that it almost tries to split the difference, because a lot of comedy RPGs you'll see will just sort of not care, or they'll care too much.
Mm-hmm.
This one has a decent enough balance of trying to be jokey without ignoring mechanics.
We'll get to why, because there's a trick to this game that's fascinating. We're right about to hit it. All right, so let's discuss, say, for example, the drunk.
Yeah, okay. So if you're drunk, your core stat is sleaze. So you might have been a duck because you wanted your sleaze. You could have gotten it from a pig.
Or a chicken. Yeah, so you have a couple different ways to become a drunk if you want. I mean, you don't have
you know,
to.
Or you could be a human drunk.
Yeah, that's
you can
that's
be
fine.
A human anything.
Yeah. So, now, the way that this works is that there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good is a mechanic that is always beneficial for you when rolling dice. The bad is actually an albatross around your neck. It's something negative that other players can use to fuck with you.
Yeah.
And then the ugly is your ability to specifically fuck with other players. So you have one positive dice roll for yourself, one negative effect that other people can use on you, and then another negative effect that you can specifically inflict on other people. Because here it is, folks, the secret mechanic to the Duckman RPG. The whole game is about trying to force everyone else in your party to fail.
Oh, yeah. So the whole point of this is it's not just you're trying to succeed. It's you want to succeed and make it so nobody else does.
Yes. It's impossible. It's the weirdest game I've ever seen.
Yeah. So you get bonuses and XP and things like that for stopping people from doing
things. It's the only way you get XP.
Yeah.
The only way in the game to get any experience at all is to force someone else to fail at something they wanted to do.
Yeah. You get, it has an entire system for Schadenfreude.
Yeah. There's a Schadenfreude roll.
It is amazing. Like, It's terrible, but it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it is terrible. I can't imagine. You have to have such a good group to play this game, because the whole point of the game is they're trying their best to recreate the show. And on the show, most of the characters just rant at each other, and then credits roll.
Oh, yeah. So, in the show, they really are trying to do a straight, literal interpretation, because everyone on the show is just stopping everyone else constantly.
And it doesn't
matter if it's trying to or not, because you'll have a lot of times where it's like, oh, like the Fluffy or Uranus or Ajax aren't really malicious, mm-hmm. but they'll still fuck things up for other people.
Oh, yeah, Ajax is always like, duh, I ate all the mints that you put in the toilet or something.
Yeah, and so they'll just make things dumb for other people, or they'll be like, sorry, Mr. Duckman, we threw out all of your pornography. Mm-hmm. We figured you wouldn't want that. And so then you get rid of all that.
Yeah, so the whole point of the game is to stop Duckman, who's... Duckman's like a detective lecher drunk or something.
He's the Elminster of this game.
He's almost unstattable. But in that case, they'd be like, we threw out your pornography. And he'd be like, but I'm a pornographer. I'm a lecher. I need my porn.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the whole point of the game, is to constantly mess with everyone else. You don't go on adventures in this. There aren't dungeons. I mean, you could. There's no rule stopping you.
Like, it's got some sample adventure stuff in the back, which we'll get to.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, it's mostly just sort of a system for fucking around.
Yeah, which is weird. Anyway, okay, the drunk. Let's go over the good, bad, and ugly on the drunk. The good of a drunk is called Fuzzy Vision.
Yep.
And it works by saying, I think you can use it twice a day. And it's, when you're inebriated, the drunk can roll 3 dice and select 2.
Yeah, so you've got your sort of, drunken clarity ability of twice per day while you're wasted, you just randomly bumble your way into doing something well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like being a drunken master. You just,
oh yeah,
it's like, whoops, I stumbled back at the wrong moment and did not get punched.
Yep, so it's, oh, I dropped this thing, but then it hit this one other thing, and then I Rube Goldberg and hit you in the face.
Right. And then the bad is called Hangover Harry. And again, every single thing in this book has a joke.
Yeah.
So Hangover Harry, which is other players can apply a -1. See, that's how the minuses come into play. You can +1 yourself. Other people can often -1 you. You can also get some of your own minuses. That's how skills work. This game has skills, people. Skills and feats. Okay, so Hangover Harry. Other players can apply a -1 to any challenge made by the drunk when he is not inebriated. If a player causes the drunk to fail a challenge in this way, they gain 1 XP.
Yeah, so you are not assumed to always be drunk in this. In the same way that, like, if you're playing an archer, you might run out of arrows, there's a good chance that the DM will just be like, all right, well, you woke up, you aren't drunk right now, you have to go get some booze, and essentially, you're going to have a point where the drunk is going to try and get booze, but the other people in your party are going to try and stop you from getting booze to fuck you up, because it makes it easier to fuck you up if you're not drunk.
Yeah.
And it gives them a way to stop you, because getting drunk is going to be a challenge for you.
Yeah. Duh, when I was eating the mints in the toilet, I found a bottle in there, so I threw it into the recycling.
Yeah. So you're going to end up having all of these weirdly antagonistic things that are happening just for your baseline ability.
Uh-huh. So that's the bad. That's just a negative that applies to the drunk. Now, the last one is the ugly. That's his ability to mess with someone else. And this one's called Disgusting Inebriant. And it's that the drunk may apply a -1 penalty, there's that -1 again, to any player's challenge roll to accomplish something cultured, delicate, or proper.
Yeah. So, if you do, then you do this and they fail, you get an XP. And the whole point of this is someone's trying to, like, recite poetry or talk about art or whatever, and then you just run up and, like, vomit on their shoe or fart.
Just burp real loudly right into the room.
Yeah.
Anything like that. You walk in, sing an Auld Lang Syne or something. And of course, you're going to have at least one player that's trying to play a foppish, cultured sophisticate. He's, you know, in there going, well, I think the Rothko is the most delightful of paintings. Yeah. That's the core concept of the game right there. So that's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Then everyone gets a couple of starting feats, and there's about 20 feats in the game, or maybe, I don't know, 30 or 40 feats.
Eh.
Mostly they're just math fixy looking things, or they're very specific to the class that they come from. So, for example, the starting feats for the drunk include Stumble Bum, which is you can apply a -1 to opposing challenges. Opposing challenges are when people try to do things to you. That's an opposing challenge to you, aimed at restraining, arguing with, or impairing the drunk.
So if someone tries to pin you down in some way, you can kind of stumble out of it.
Yeah, I'm just going to be out in the hallway. Go out there and sing How Dry I Am.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you also get Party Animal, which is a minus one. This one's fairly common. A lot of people get it. You can get a minus one to personal greed challenges. So, for example, if you roll to drink an entire bottle of whiskey, then you can apply a minus one to your own roll to successfully drink your... That way, you succeed on rolls of 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, or no, I'm sorry, 10, 11, or 12, which is really impressive.
Yeah.
So, there you go. Okay, now, you also get skills. Skills work similarly to stats in this game. So, for example, the drunk gets drinking automatically.
Yep.
And then also gets to pick three from carousing, law enforcement, fighting, debate, and vomiting with purpose.
Yeah, I enjoy that they have vomiting with purpose in here. It's great. It reminds me a lot of the
Floating
Vagabond.
Yeah, it's pretty... there's some similar jokey names to everything, like, you know, do something positive with your life instead of becoming a role-playing game designer.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
And I also enjoy that the drunk gets law enforcement as a thing. It's wonderful.
Law enforcement pops up pretty regularly. I think it's the main stat for detectives, but it shows up for a lot of other people as well. It's great.
Yeah.
And, then it actually has a note for the drunk about what it takes to be drunk in the game.
Play a drunk if.
This, I wrote this down because I thought this was hilarious, and it's, a character becomes inebriated by having a few stiff drinks. That's all in caps. A few stiff drinks, which is the smallest amount of drinks in this world. An inebriated character counts as inebriated for their next three rolls, so they must keep the party going or suffer Hangover Harry very quickly.
Yeah, and having booze it's easy enough to get drunk if you have it, but you do have to get that, so it's a matter of either acquiring it through trying to get it through skill rolls of purchasing or scavenging it up out of, like, your kitchen or your liquor cabinet or whatever.
Yeah. Now, the whole mechanic, that whole rolling three dice and selecting two, that's incredibly powerful in craps. It dramatically boosts your chances of rolling a seven.
Oh, yeah.
So, the whole trick to the drunk, and he can do it twice a day, the whole trick to the drunk is that he's powerful compared to the other classes, but he's very reliant on getting his hands on booze.
Yeah, if you can stop him from getting drunk, then he does... nothing.
Yeah, he just whines about wanting booze and rolls badly to try and get it until he does. And then he's off on the races and powerful again. It's actually not a bad way to build a drunk.
Huh.
Now, there are nine other classes in this game.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example, we've got the other one of the sleaze classes, the lecher.
Yeah, we've got ones for apathy.
Sure.
Basically the... Ajax would be the idiot.
Yeah, the idiot's the Ajax class, and it's another really funny one. Their good is unconventional wisdom.
Yeah, once per day, you can turn a natural failure into a success regardless of your modifiers.
If you roll a 2, 3, or 12, you can just say, no, I succeeded.
Yeah.
And it's because you did something so stupid that it works.
Oh, yeah, that's just dumb enough to work, and then it actually happens.
Yeah.
So you get to just decide, yeah, no, I failed, but I didn't.
Yeah, so that's pretty solid. It's only once a day because these guys, again, don't have a fueling up mechanic like the alcohol.
Yeah.
And then their bad is called a few cans short. I assume that's of a six pack. Thanks, guys. Thanks for saving the page space.
Yucky.
Other players may apply minus one to any challenge made by an idiot to use a machine, read a sign, or anything that could potentially require higher brain function. If the idiot fails spectacularly, again, that spectacularly means a 2, 3, or 12.
Yeah.
Then you gain XP, the person who does it to them.
Yeah, so anytime you're like, okay, I want to try and do a thing, I'm an idiot. All right, I need to try and get some Cheetos. I'm going to go to the store and like, oh, how do you know you're going to the store? That's directions. I'm going to try and get you lost.
Yeah.
Shit like that.
That's basically what happens with them. And then the ugly, their specific ability to mess with someone else, it's called A Helping Hand. This is one of my favorites.
Huh.
Okay.
That's why I wanted to get to this one, because I really like that mechanic.
Okay, The Helping Hand. The idiot may impose his assistance on any challenge made by another player. He also rolls challenge dice and applies personal modifiers as normal, and no other players can mess with his roll. So, for example, if he's helping someone do something complicated, then other people can't pop up behind him and be like, hey, that uses machinery. So, this is just an uncontested roll you're making on the same skill roll that the person you're trying to help is making. If you succeed, if the idiot succeeds, nothing happens. But if you fail, the originating character also fails, and the idiot gains 1 XP.
Yeah.
So basically you go, "Duh, I'll help you." And then you do something spectacularly stupid and drag him to failure with you.
Yeah, you accidentally set the thing he was trying to put together on fire, and now it's all fucked up.
Yeah. You have the ability to mess up other people's skill rolls by just being an idiot.
Oh, yeah. You just show up, and they're like, "All right, I'm going to try and, like, tidy up the house." And you're like, "I'll help with that." And then you get the vacuum and blow up the vacuum, and dirt gets everywhere.
Yeah. So there you go. And their starting feats are Thick Skull, which is a -1, 2 challenges intending to educate, lecture, or assist the player. So anyone trying to talk an idiot into something is going to have a hard time because they're very good at getting out of things. They're just too stupid to affect. And then Simple Pleasures, which is a simple -1 that you can apply to any apathy challenge you make.
Yep.
So there you go. Their primary skill is carousing.
Well, yeah, because you're an idiot and you just sort of want to talk to people. So you aren't really good at skills as much as you are just wandering around and people are like, "Oh, that's an affable dumbass. I like him."
Yeah. All right, so let's skip down a little bit. That was one of the apathy classes. We've got, you want to do detective?
Yeah, sure. All right, so the detective is a rage-based class. They have their three things. So their good is one more thing, which is the Columbo.
Yeah, all right.
So once per day, you can re-roll one or both of the dice in a challenge roll, but you got to keep the second result.
Mm-hmm.
You get your bad, which is you have a red herring, so you can apply a -1 to your challenge roll to discover a clue. So if you fail spectacularly, great, you get an XP.
No, this is the bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So this is other people can fuck
if you give the detective a red herring, you can give them the -1 to discover a clue, and then if they fuck up, you get XP.
Yeah. So you can be like, "I don't know, Duckman, maybe it's in your butt."
"Hey, I found a bottle over here of booze that was the guy's.
Ancient shenanigans, it says." "Oh, let me see that."
And then your ugly is barrage of questions, so you can add a die to any challenge roll for someone else when they're going to lie, cheat, or generally commit any crime.
Constantly in this game.
Yeah. And the final result of your roll is calculated from all three of the dice.
Yeah. Which is a weird mechanic.
Because it can take you over 12.
Which doesn't matter, because things over 12 are still just fails.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, because it makes it way harder to get to hit that 7 or 11.
Oh yeah, it just gives you a way broader range of numbers to hit, so you end up being slightly more likely to fail than you normally would.
Honestly, the big problem with that is that when you're rolling 3 dice, you're way likely to hit a 7. It's calculated from the total. Yes. Yeah. The average on that roll is a 10.5, which means you're more likely to hit an 11. Well, but, you know, you get the modifiers and stuff. It's interesting. It just changes the range.
Well, the big thing is it ends up, and I mean, obviously this isn't particularly an amazingly well-balanced game.
No.
His ability, like the barrage of questions, ends up being so much better than a lot of other people's The Ugly, because you end up getting this ability to affect basically everything. It says only for lying, cheating, or committing a crime, but it's so widely applicable because most people's things they want to do are either lying or cheating or trying to commit some sort of crime.
Yeah. So,
I mean, if you're the detective against, say, there's someone else in your party who's the idiot, you're less likely to be able to fuck them up because most of the time the idiot just sort of wanders around doing nothing and fucking other people up and maybe like, "I want to get food."
Yeah, I think the idiots are more likely to be honest than the other classes. I think them and the Amazon are most likely to be the honest classes in the game. Because the Amazon doesn't want to do anything but emasculate men. That's the whole point of the Amazon class, is that it just messes with male characters.
Oh, yeah. And it's sort of, it's weird because it's got the, you've got all of these mechanics in place for everyone else, and then they specifically made one for Rage, or for...
It's Rage.
Yeah. That is... It's odd that they limited it just to women.
Mm-hmm.
It's the dexterity one. Their dexterity.
Oh, you're
because
right. Yeah,
they're dexterity. They're the ones that beat up guys. And you get bonuses for beating up guys, but not for other women. Mm-hmm. Because you stand strong with your sisters.
Yeah. So yeah, there's a whole class that's based around beating up and emasculating men. I don't really feel like Bernice is actually an Amazon. She's just sort of a high strong.
She is. You get a lot of episodes in the show where she'll like, I'm all about women's rights, and then she'll just kick Duckman in the face a lot.
Yeah, fair enough. Amazon's just a weird term. I guess this is because anything else they could have picked would have been way too sexist.
Yeah, I think they wanted to sort of reflect what she was in the show, but didn't want to just be like,
Harpy!
Yeah, like, yeah, it could, shrew!
Yeah, that would have been a real problem. Insufferable ex-wife, or whatever she is. She's the sister-in-law.
Yeah, but you have... So, you have that, and it has a combat system, which is the exact same resolution as basically everything else in this game.
Yeah.
Which is odd, because normally when you look at an RPG, the combat system is going to take up, like, two-thirds of your book,
mm-hmm.
and then everything else is maybe the rest of the third. Whereas this combat is just the exact same as if I was rolling to do, like, all right, I want to, like, cook a thing, or drink something, or watch TV, or whatever, it'd be the same role as I want to punch a guy in the face.
Yeah.
Because the game doesn't really care about, like, how many HPs you have.
Yeah, there's an HP mechanic, but the worst you can really do is sort of beat someone to the point where they have to sit for a little while.
Oh yeah, you can punch someone to the point where they are incapacitated.
Yeah.
But it just means that at that point, they're unable to stop you from doing things.
Yeah, and
they can't apply, like, they're the ugly to you and so on.
Yeah, your HP is equivalent to your dexterity plus your apathy times two. And I assume that's because it's a combination of your dodgy ability plus literally how much meat is on your body.
Well, yeah, your apathy, I think, is just how much you don't care that you've been punched.
Either that or just how fat you are. It's just one of those. So yeah, your hit points is dexterity plus apathy times two. The only other real stat that matters is initiative, and initiative is just a straight 2d6 roll.
Yep, and then if you've got a plus 2 dexterity, you add it, otherwise you don't.
Yeah, so you have there's an initiative. I don't know why they had to give the dexterity the nod there, because it's already informing your hit points, and then...
Oh yeah, no, dexterity is once again, like in every fucking game, the king stat. You are king shit of fuck mountain if you are a dex character.
And the two dex characters are Amazon and Jock. Jock, unfortunately, just not that interesting of a class.
It really isn't. It's just they needed another thing with dexterity that fit like Amazon, but they didn't make it like, this is the male-only version.
Yeah, because that would be really weird. What are you, oh, I'm a class that does nothing but mess with women.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, but
we already had the lecher.
Yeah, at that point, like, you've now just gone into, like, I'm a woman beater. Oh, no, we can't put this in a game.
That wasn't... Duckman didn't do that.
Yeah, so you have the jock, which is mostly... Even more about, like, Amazon is actually fully about beating people up, whereas the jock tends to be more about showing off than straight-up beating people.
Yeah, he doesn't... Almost none of his roles have anything to do with, like, sports or whatever. They're all preening stuff.
Oh, yeah, it's all showing how much better you are than other people. And so rather than it being a combat class, which the Amazon basically ends up being the only combat class,
mm-hmm.
so the jock ends up being more about, I can show off, like, I'll show my ripped muscles and get the ladies to fall for me, shit like that.
Yeah, the jock has the ugly ability is the ability to impose a dice penalty to someone else's roll to accomplish a physical task. And if they fail at it, then he gets the glory as if he did it. So he just makes them look stupid, and is like, oh, I did that, yes.
And oh, yeah, so he'd be like, I'm trying to lift this thing up, and he just walks over and lifts it up easily, and he's like, oh, you're so weak, I'm glad I was here to help you. And so...
Marks XP for that,
you mark XP for being, showing up other people, essentially.
It's not a terrible class, it's just, it's probably the furthest removed from the Duckman story. Like, there's nearly not a point in the... Like, you occasionally see muscle-bound people in the background of episodes, but they're never major.
Oh, yeah. They usually end up being, I mean, I guess in game terms, NPCs, because they'll show up and make Duckman look like an idiot briefly and then go away.
Yeah. It's one of the weirder ones. It's all the same with Stoner, because the show doesn't have a whole lot of weed humor in it.
No, it's got some drug stuff in it. I mean, obviously, Duckman does everything.
Yeah, he'll do whatever he can get his duck mitts on. But
you do have... like some drug stuff in the show, and it tends to be a little more like that whole the South Park the truth is in the middle thing.
Oh yeah,
where it's like drugs aren't great, but they aren't evil either.
No, it's like if you think South Park has become an unreasonably preachy show over the past like 10 years or so.
Oh my god, please watch just a couple. Watch the episode of Duckman called Finding America.
Yeah.
There's a woman named America that they're trying to find, and it's the most insufferable preachy episode ever.
The whole show is just preachy ranting.
Oh, I have to say, so I actually watched the Duckman show when it was on air.
Oh yeah.
And I fucking loved it as a dumb idiot.
I think it's just because they said curse words a little bit.
There's kind of
hell
some,
damn ass crap.
Yeah, there was some cursing. They kind of would, they didn't ever do nudity, but they were like, hey, look at the animated tits on this chick. And so as a young adult, I was like, yeah, fucking people are dumb, and I need to swear, and look at boobs, this is everything I always wanted, and it is the most juvenile, stupid, preachy show, and I don't care, I still love it.
I know, it's weird, because the preachiness, you try and watch it now, you're just like, oh man, every character on this show is just lecturing everyone else constantly.
Oh yeah, like, normally South Park would save their, I learned something today, for the very end, and do just jokes throughout the middle of it. This will be like, in the middle of an episode, be like, you know what's wrong with feminists? And you're like, oh, God, don't.
Come on, Duckman.
You know what's terrible about our public school system? Please, Duckman.
Let me tell you what the matter is with Arabs.
All these immigrants! And you're like, oh, God damn it, will you stop that shit?
It's like a show starring my uncle.
This is basically the worst Facebook wall ever as a show.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about chemtrails. GMOs!
Charles and Mambo, you're a two-headed freak because of GMOs! Vaccinations did this to you!
Oh my god, I really wish Duckman was still on the air today so they could do shit like that.
Oh, they could do vaccinations and autism and so on.
Oh, that'd be so good.
That'd be so awesome. But okay, so there you go, that's what the Duckman show is. But yeah, it's weird that they have the stoner in there. It's, it's because there's only 5 members of the family and they needed to pad out to 10 classes to have the book be more than 10 pages.
Oh yeah. So they basically just took a bunch of the stats and added other things. Some make sense where they've got, 2 that are actually in there that you'd think would be in there.
Well, Drunk and Lecher is really obvious.
Oh yeah. And then Detective and Jerk for Rage are both sort of obvious, but yeah. Things like, Huckster for Greed, or the Stoner in Apathy, or the Jock in Dex. It feels weird.
Yeah, it's close enough. I mean, you can still tell stories in the universe, but this is a weird example of a game to build a license around, because we've talked about licensed games before,
in an
episode of Afterthought we did on that, where we talked about how there needs to be room in the world to build a game around that isn't just the main characters. This show rarely leaves Duckman's house.
Oh yeah, and obviously the game mentions, like, yeah, you could play as Duckman and his family if you really wanted to do that, but you can just play in the world of Duckman, you know? Maybe you play as your own different competing detective agency, or maybe you're a different family, or maybe you're just a business of some other kind, or whatever it happens to be.
It does really want you to build characters that are a family, like, or an association.
Yeah. You need to essentially build either a family or a business. They're like, we need there to be a reason that all of you have to be around each other all the time.
Right, because all you're doing is fucking with each other. So if there wasn't something forcing you to be a coherent group, then you just leave.
Oh yeah, because if you go, well, I leave everyone else and go do other things by myself so that they can't fuck with me, at that point, not only are you denying the interaction with other people, you're also pretty much just denying everyone XP. And you're denying yourself XP because you only get it by fucking with other people.
Let's stress that. The only way in this game that you get XP is by causing someone else to fail.
Yeah. You have to get your Schadenfreude on in order to get your XPs.
Yeah. The weirdest thing you've ever seen. Okay, so there's a few other things. With the stoner, I really wanted to talk about his The Ugly ability. It's one of the more powerful abilities in the game. His ability to mess with other people is called It's All Connected, Man. And it's, with a barrage of logic, the stoner may require a reroll of any single die an opponent rolls.
Yeah.
Which is real good. To turn someone's natural 7 into like a 14, or it could be a 14, but
Oh, yeah. It's just, you have to reroll a die.
Yeah. Which is awesome. They also have base instincts, which is that people can force them to, or can stop them from trying to resist temptation.
Yeah.
And then stoner logic, which is one of This game's based around rolling 2d6, so they needed to have 10 unique things you could do while rolling 2d6.
Which, let's face it, is kind of difficult.
It's not easy to do. So stoner logic is twice a day, the stoner can treat the dice he rolls on a challenge as if they were showing their reverse face. Yeah. Now, here's a problem with this, because I don't think the game thought about this when they did it. That means that they say the same thing. Because every die adds to 7 if you look at the two sides of it. So the 3 is on the other side of the 4, the 1 is on the other side of the 5. Huh. So if you roll a 2 and a 5, you flip them over and you've rolled a 5 and a 2.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's a little weird.
I mean, I assume that probably you'd house rule it to be like, you can choose 1 to flip over.
Yeah.
But the way, like, rules as written, it's written poorly enough that it just looks like flip your dice over and have the exact same roll.
So that's a funny, I don't know why they did that. I guess probably because they didn't really think about it. Maybe they didn't know the whole dice add up to 7, D6 dies always add up to 7 thing.
Eh, I don't know.
So there you go. And then you've probably noticed by now that there's a theme to the feats that you get, because the feats that are specific to classes are always a -1 penalty, it's a -1 bonus to challenges that have to do with what your class is based around. So for example, the stoner is a -1 penalty to challenges to someone else who is intending to engage the stoner in any activity. And in this case, what they mean is like trying to get him to go outside or leave the couch.
Oh yeah. So if you're like, I need you to get up so I can vacuum or some shit like that, then no. No, I'm not moving.
I'm not moving, man. Probably just gonna say, Dave's not here, man. That's gonna be a response. Hey, could you take out the garbage? Dave's not here, man.
Oh my god. Okay, so we've talked a lot about a lot of things. We haven't really gotten to the skill section yet.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
There's just a crap load of skills for pretty much everything that is, both like combat and non-combat and not even just like non-combat skills like you'd normally have in other games. You have shit that's just really, really basic.
Oh yeah, like dating.
Yeah.
Yeah, dating or sales or drinking. Because the whole point of this game is that it's very low energy and low key, which means that your characters rarely do anything especially challenging or anything at all.
But it also means you can be called on for roles for the most generic of shit.
Yes.
If you say, all right, well, I'm just going to have, like, a fucking microwaved burrito for dinner. They go, great, microwave cooking is a skill. Roll on it.
Yeah, and it's the only cooking skill.
Yeah, microwave cooking is your only cooking.
My favorite joke in the skill section is that they have a skill called exercise.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, a skill called exercise Second Amendment rights.
Yeah.
They also have heavy machine operation, science for nerds.
Television appreciation, which is great.
Yeah. Chicanery.
And the nice thing is they're so broadly weird in some of these that you can apply them to a bunch of different roles. So like you can go, I want to try and seduce someone. So I'm going to use dating to try and be like, yeah, I'm going to get into their pants with that. But I'm going to also, maybe I'm different. So I'll try and get them into carousing or maybe
drinking contest to get into there.
Or, you know what? I'll try and use recreational drug use.
I'll write their name in the snow with vomiting.
Yeah.
Because my skill is vomiting with purpose.
And so whatever you want to do, this system is basically like, I don't know, you figure out whatever you want to do.
It's very fluid. And skills are one of the very few things in the game that you can actually spend your XP on. You're not supposed to get your stats any better, but with skills, here's the way skills work. All skills have a rank, and the ranks are from 1 to 3, and characters begin with 1 rank 2 and 3 rank 1 skills. So, for example, the drunk starts with drinking at rank 2 and then 3 skills of his choice of rank 1. The skill rank is the amount that you can add, not subtract, you can only add with skills, to any role that pertains to that skill. So, for example, if you have drinking at 2, you can add up to 2 to any role that you make that has to do with drinking.
Yeah.
You can only get a skill as high as 3, and they're expensive. Each one of them costs the amount you'd like to purchase times 10 XP.
Yeah, so just getting the first rank in something is 10, but getting up to rank 3 in something is 30 XP. And remember, you're only getting XP for fucking with people.
The only way you get XP in the game is to cause someone else to fail. There isn't an XP reward at the end of the night.
No.
It's just failing. It's the only point.
Yeah, I can't... Okay, so there's a fucking small adventure at the back, which is mostly just a Duckman ripoff of you're all a family living in a house. You've got someone is coming by and they're doing a It's the inspection for the house.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So you've got to try and do things like you're hiding your booze, you're trying to not be a drunk in front of the inspector,
and it's
you
want to
clean.
It's a very generic inspector, because he's going to be like looking for mold, but he's also going to be making sure you take care of your kids or he'll take them away.
Oh, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like anything that you could do, the Duck Master, which we didn't even mention, your fucking DM is the Duck Master.
Yeah.
So the Duck Master is... able to make it either a male or a female investigator, depending on what you want. So they're like, if you've got a lecher in your group, maybe make it a female inspector. If you've got an Amazon, make it a male inspector, and so on. And it gives you some leeway for how to do the adventure, but it's mostly just give your players lots of reasons to try and roll things.
Yeah, like the house is disgusting. You have to clean the house. You have to scrape the mold off the ceiling. You have to hide the alcohol.
And if you're not going to be good at cleaning, you have to try and distract him away from doing stuff.
Yeah. Maybe the idiot is trying very hard to build a machine that'll suck all the weed smoke out of the house. So to put up with the fact that there is no way the stoner's going to stop smoking.
Yeah. So it's got a whole bunch of different little suggestions. It's for, like, okay, do you have, like, a detective in the house? Do you have a gambler in the house? Whatever. Here are little things that they'll need to take care of, or that will be a problem for them.
Yes.
So you've got... The problem with this is it gives you all of these things, like as if it was a standard adventure of, here's a problem, you as a group are going to try and overcome it. Except you as a group are playing this fucking game, and you're all trying to ruin it for everyone else, which means... This adventure is going to end with, like, everyone in Child Protective Services or jail.
But isn't that basically the point of the Duckman show, too? I mean, because it's just at 22 minutes, and then it resets.
Oh, yeah.
There's no episode of Duckman where they mention the previous episode of Duckman. Even the only recurring character outside of the main ones is King Chicken, and he's so not very much recurring that he has to repeat his story at the beginning of every time he shows up.
Yeah, he keeps having to let everyone know that Duckman was the popular guy at the school, and it made him feel bad, and now he's out for revenge.
Yes. Every single time he's on the show, he has to be like,
Buck! Buck! Buck!
That's the best part of the show.
Buck! Buck! Fuck. So, this game doesn't, it just doesn't, it, there's nothing, I can't.
But that's, one of the things is that in the DM or Duckmaster advice section, it does tell you, don't worry so much about how the adventures end. If half the characters are dead and the other ones have decided to move to the Himalayas, that's fine because the next episode isn't contiguous.
Oh yeah.
It just starts in the house again.
And it's just, also, like, hey, and don't worry if everyone fails at everything. That's the point.
Yeah.
Everyone should suck. And it tells that to the players at the beginning of the book of just, like, you're probably going to fail at things. Make sure everyone else fails harder.
Yeah, yeah. The point of this game isn't to succeed. It's to cause others to fail. Have fun.
Yeah.
And it says here this, you know, in that Duckman-y tone. And it's like, you want successes? Let me tell you, kids in Africa are failing twice before breakfast.
The fucking... I can't even imagine trying to play this game, because there's no quicker way to ruin a friendship than trying to play the goddamn Duckman RPG.
I could see playing this game, but you'd have to basically go into it like it was a board game or something. You couldn't do this with, like, a long-term...
Oh, no. Like, the problem is, it wants you to be episodic,
yeah.
But it has the XP that you go from session to session... So they couldn't think of anything aside from an XP mechanic to get better.
Well, it's a 90s RPG. You can't have one without XP.
No, that's what you have. But it also means that you are going to get better as it goes on, but nothing matters if you do.
Yeah. All you are is better at making people fail. You get broader at how you make... Well, it's skills, so you're better at succeeding.
Yeah.
So it's harder
for people to fuck you up, but they get better at fucking you up.
It's so good. It's such a weird game. Okay, we've been talking for about 52, so why don't we go ahead and jump into our discussion at the end of every episode. John, what would you say is your favorite thing about Duckman, the RPG?
Alright, I think my favorite thing in this is probably actually going to be the skill system. They didn't put in a shitload of skills, which is always my major gripe anytime we review anything.
I think there's 20.
Yeah, anytime someone puts in, like, 75 skills, I go, no, you need to stop doing that. And they're broad. Like I said, it's... Even if you got, say, like, the carousing instead of dating, you could try and use that for a situation that you might have used dating for.
It's a little fluid, and a lot of it's based around kind of in-the-moment conversations with your DM. It's a lot of banter or bartering.
Oh, yeah. And so you've got the skill system that lets you do a bunch of weird, goofy things, but it's also open enough that you don't have to sit there and feel bad like, oh man, I put a point into sports instead of exercise, which are two fucking different skills.
I swear that's only in there to separate the jock from the Amazon. Because the Amazon's supposed to be like a go-getting, like, aerobics person.
Oh yeah. And then the jock is like, I play sports, which never fucking matters.
Yeah. Literally, the only reason that exercise is a skill in this game is so that exercise Second Amendment rights can be a joke.
I'm almost certain that's the only reason it's in there. But it does let you have these two things that you're like, oh, I put points into sports instead of exercise. Now I can't, like, I don't know, lift weights. You go, yeah, but weightlifting is a sport, so now you can.
Yeah, it's perfectly fine. Like, how fast are you? Well, I don't have sports, so I'm not a good runner. But, you know, I do a lot of time jogging, so I got that, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I've spent a whole lot of time on the treadmill, so there you go.
Yeah, so it's a lot of barter, which is fine. So that skill section. All right.
Yeah, skill section is good. So what would you say is your favorite thing?
I like the simplicity of the whole good, bad, ugly thing, so that every character has basically three powers, two of which are bad.
Yeah.
I like that that's fairly simple. It's self-explanatory. And the fact that one of those is a broad way that anyone can mess with you, and one of them is a specific way that you can mess with anyone, gives you so many weird hooks in the party over who's going to mess with who and how. Oh, that's another thing that comes up, incidentally, is you actually have to roll initiative to see who gets to mess with who. Because, you know, you're going to do something like, your drunk's going to be like, I try to take a drink, and like three people at the table will be like, no, I need to stop him! But you can't have everyone stop him, so you roll initiative, and then one person gets to take the shot.
Well, yeah, the initiative thing in this is we don't have combat rounds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So initiative is just based on who gets to fuck with who when.
And this happens during combat, too. So someone could be like, I throw a punch at Duckman, and someone else will be like, I'm going to mess with your attempt. Two people will be like, I'm going to mess with your attempt to throw a punch at Duckman. Then they'll roll initiative to see who gets to stop you.
Oh, yeah, and then the idiot's like, I'm also throwing a punch, and then accidentally punch you and trip you over, nobody gets hit.
So the combat's ridiculous, because you roll initiative during combat to see who gets to mess with combat.
Oh, it's so good.
Okay, so that's my favorite thing, is that the good, bad, ugly system makes it so that all the classes are relatively, I guess, balanced. I mean, this is a game where balance is more important than in most RPGs, because your enemies are the other players.
Oh, yeah, everything is PvP.
So it's got to be very... I mean, they can put in bad guys for
them. Oh, yeah, I mean, they have plenty of that.
But you can't extract XP from them.
No.
Even NPCs who show up are like, I tried to do something. I make you fail. Like, that doesn't get you XP. You only get it from messing with the other players. Okay, what's your least favorite thing about the Duckman RPG?
My least favorite thing is the good, the bad, the ugly system.
That's harsh. You. Oh.
No, it's... The problem I have with it is that it encourages so much of fucking with other people, and I know that's the point. I know. I get it. I understand. But the good, bad, ugly system is just constantly trying to get bookkeeping in order, which is my main problem with it. It's not even so much that you're fucking with other people, as much as you go like, all right, what are you playing? I need to know what your thing that I can do to you is, what my thing that I do to other people is, what my thing that I do to myself is. And you're like, you have to sit there with a goddamn notebook. And anytime someone's like, I'd like to roll, you're like, hold on, wait a minute.
I can see it based on a justification thing. Like, let's say that, for example, someone comes up and tries to tell you what movies are on later today. And you can be like, wait a minute, does that constitute an attempt to educate me? Because I have a thing for that. Especially because once you get down into the feats, which we didn't talk about at all, there's like 30 feats, and most of them are just penalties you can apply to other people's attempts to mess with you.
Oh yeah, it's all just very specific, like if trying to change the channel away from something you're watching, or shit like that.
Yeah, so those are another way that things come up and suddenly math up your weird... your PvP game fight.
And that's my main issue, is you've got so many little fiddly, like, pluses and minuses between your skills, and you're what you're applying negatives to them, what you're applying positives to yourself, and everything like that, that then also trying to know what everyone's weakness is, the bad for everyone, essentially, It's so much fucking bookkeeping. It's not an elegant system, is all I'm saying.
I don't feel like it'd be that bad if there were like four players, because you'd eventually pick up that, you know, the bad for a drunk is that the drunk can't have alcohol. The bad for a stoner is that the stoner.
Oh yeah, but the beginning of it, if you're getting into this game, you're just like, okay, I've got to constantly look at my reference sheet for how everything works.
It's not a fast game to pick up and play. You'd think it would be, because it's got very few rules. But it does seem like it would take
a lot of complexity. Game that's based around 2D6 with very little rules-heavy explanations for things, it is way difficult to get into.
Yeah.
All right, so, your least favorite thing in the Duckman RPG?
I'm going to agree with you about complexity. I still think the good, bad, the ugly is a good way to do categorizing, but I don't think that the game needed feats.
That is true.
It's like, I get it, game. You came out in, like, 1996 or whatever, and D&D was around, and you saw feats in there, and you're like, well, we better put some of these in here. Because that's a mechanic that's the next big thing, but you don't need them. It's too much.
No. I mean, it gives you something else to put XP into if you don't want to sink it into your skills.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, it doesn't matter because it's still just a fiddly plus one minus one.
I'd almost want to say the XP system is completely unnecessary in this game, too.
That is also true.
I mean, that's the problem. I might as well just broaden out my category and say that my problem with this game is sacred cows.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of RPG sacred cows. It's got feats. It's got XP for a game that's purely episodic. It's got dexterity. In a game where one of your stats is sleaze, it's got dexterity.
Hell yeah, it does.
So yeah, it's, I'd say that. It's got a lot of sacred cows from the 90s RPG industry buried in there in what would otherwise have been a bizarrely inventive game.
Yeah, I feel like the person who made this was like, oh, I want to make something interesting. What's Duckman all about? I'll try and do it off of craps. He's always talking about craps and gambling and shit like that. And then immediately got shut down by the people that they were publishing through of like, hey man, you can't make this without XP.
Yeah, I like to think that in the early run of the game, it was like you rolled 2d6 and then the other players also rolled 2d6 to try and beat your original, like actual craps rules. Like,
oh, I have to imagine that the original rules were, you had to roll out for yours. If you got anything but a crap out or a 7 or 11, then you had to roll your
number,
same number again before someone else rolled a 7 or 11.
Oh my god, that would have been great.
Oh god, I want to house rule this game now. Which brings us to, would you play this?
Well, let's see. I would play this game for sure. Again, because it's so episodic, I have no trouble with trying this game out as a one-shot. I have a good group of friends I trust I could play this with who wouldn't mind me fucking with them all night, most of them. You'd be good. You'd be alright with it. You'd have to be playing with a group of people that literally were like, I don't care if my character succeeds on things. Like, get the game.
Oh yeah, if you understand where it's coming from.
Yeah, okay, would you?
Oh, I would totally play this game. It would be awful, and I would hate it, and nothing would get accomplished, which is what's supposed to happen, and I would be amused more at the RP of the game than the systems, because I feel like trying to do anything in a Duckman RPG in the Duckman world is just begging for stupid bullshit.
Right. Oh, man. You know, one of my big problems I always complain about with licensed games is that they're basically invitations to quote.
Oh, yeah.
And this one's a little better than that for most, because who the fuck can quote Duckman other than you at the beginning of the show? No one quotes Duckman. He doesn't, I mean... Oh, I also think this is another least favorite thing. No rules for Grandmama.
Aw, poor Grandmama. They even forgot about Grandmama.
And Charles and Mambo. They don't have any rules for playing as a two-headed weirdo.
No, you're just a duck.
You're a duck with two heads, with two personalities.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's probably one of the
Yeah, you just took...
What the hell would even be? Probably a huckster. That's the closest you can get to him, because he's just like a student or something.
Yeah, and then you'd have the science for nerds and the, I don't know, heavy machine and debate?
Probably, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Anyway. So there you go. We both play Duckman the RPG.
Yeah.
Would you play Duckman the RPG, audience? Let us know. Otherwise, you can find us at SystemMasteryPodcast.com, System Mastery on Gmail or Twitter. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. You can also find us on Facebook. So by all means, stop by, say hello. We are now taking fan questions, or listener questions. I'm not going to say your fans. That seems like I'm assuming too much.
Yes, you assume much of our listeners.
Don't get presumptuous. When you presume, you make a prud of Sue and me.
Sue me.
So yeah, for our listeners, you can send us questions to the Gmail or tweet the questions to us. We try to answer them on our new show, Afterthought, which we'll be recording the third episode of in a week or two. And who knows what that one's going to be about? Probably something to do with Duckman.
Yeah, maybe something about comedy, maybe something about ducks.
We'll do a whole episode on ducks.
Yeah, just ducks. Not even cartoon ducks. Not just ducks.
Well, we can do the cartoon ducks of history.
The great cartoon ducks of history.
For example, why is there a Duckman game? Why isn't there a Darkwing Duck game?
Of all the injustices in this world, the fact that there is no Darkwing Duck game is the greatest.
You don't think it's that there's no Rescue Rangers game?
Well, no.
Okay, how about if it was just a Disney Afternoon game?
Oh my god, Disney Afternoon game, give it to me. Disney, okay, there it is. Let me write this game.
There it is. We had the afterthought discussion about RPGs that didn't exist but should, and we settled on like Harry Potter and Jurassic Park, but holy god, Disney Afternoon.
Come on, let me be dashing and daring, courageous and caring.
Oh man, let me be ho 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 ho. Wait, that doesn't have any lyrics in it.
Yeah,
it does. Spin it, win it.
Yeah.
Oh, we all tailspin. Spin it in and win it. We'll spin it in a minute. Anyway, this has been System Mastery. We thank you for listening, and we hope to see you again shortly.